Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. The question from yesterday's Juz. There is a battle that is named after a surah in Juz 19. Which battle is it? Answer below, inshallah ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, dear brothers and sisters, as we get into the 20th Juz and we get into the last tonight, a reminder, inshallah ta'ala, to please consider yaqeen amongst your recipients for your sadaqah this year. I hope you've seen the blessing, inshallah ta'ala, of the work. I hope you've enjoyed the Ramadan series, enjoyed Quran 30 for 30, and more importantly, benefited from Yaqeen's resources throughout the years and seen the way that we've grown, alhamdulillah, and that's only by the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then of course your support. So go ahead and click the link, inshallah ta'ala. You can automate your donations over the next 10 nights, bidnillah. Join us for the webathon. My request again, give what you gave last year or more, inshallah ta'ala. So if you're a first timer, then of course you need to give more. And if you gave before, inshallah ta'ala, please do give more and make dua for us as well, inshallah, in these blessed 10 nights. Alhamdulillah, we're blessed today, of course, with Sheikh Abdullah Duru as well. And we have Ustadha Fatima Lett, alhamdulillah, from Qalam. How are you, Ustadha Fatima? How's
good,
everything?
Good, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So, you know, we talk about the lack of competition, alhamdulillah, between Yaqeen and Qalam. We've navigated all of that, alhamdulillah. We found ways to make peace. But Sheikh Abdullah, Ghana.
Yeah, I was gonna leave it alone. You know,
gonna leave it alone.
I mean, we really should. It's already known about the jollof rice.
Can we at least introduce? Okay, so Ustadha Fatima is originally from the Gambia, not Gambia, the Gambia. The Gambia. Mm-hmm. Sheikh Abdullah is from Ghana. By the way, shout out to Sheikh to brother Abu Bakr Tambedu, mashallah, the justice minister of the Gambia, took Myanmar to court. And alhamdulillah, made us all proud as an ummah, alhamdulillah. So we love the Gambia, alhamdulillah. And we love all of our brothers and sisters around the world. We love our ummah, and jollof is the food of the ummah, apparently, alhamdulillah. So we'll take it that way, inshallah.
Yes, sir.
Jazakumullah khair for being here, Ustadha Fatima. Inshallah ta'ala, with that, we'll go ahead and get started. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wana. So in Juz 20, subhanallah, I want to connect what we are about to embark upon with what we studied in Juz 19. In Juz 19, Fir'aun is boasting about the favor that he did for Musa alayhi salam, which is supposedly taking care of him, right? And, you know, I raised you in my own home. And Musa alayhi salam reminds him that if you didn't enslave Bani Israel, we wouldn't have been in this situation in the first place, that my mother put me in the Nile River to escape your oppression in the very first place. So how can you boast when you are the one who caused the destruction, the corruption in the first place that led us to this difficult situation? And we said this is the opposite quality of the believers who are lizakati fa'idun, who give sincerely, who do not mention their giving. Innama nut'imukum liwajhillah, we feed you only for the sake of Allah. They fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they know they have shortcomings even when they are in a place of giving. And so they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they do not boast because they know everything that they gave actually was given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they never see themselves as ultimate givers because they always recognize themselves as recipients of Allah's mercy. And that's something specific to the believers. Now, subhanAllah, once you go into Juz 20, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 59, chapter 27, قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَىٰ أَلَّهُ خَيْرٌ أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Right? Say, O Prophet of Allah, praise be to Allah, praise be to Allah. All hamd, all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His salam is upon the servants He has chosen. So think about the idea of the chosen ones, right? The chosen ones are the ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen, and they are chosen because of their ability to recognize that the blessings came to them from the same one who sent them revelation and their response to that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ask them, who is better, Allah or whatever gods they associate with him? Think about how oppressive Fir'aun is, and think about how oppressive every other system, every other god is in comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam liberates, Islam empowers. And that's why the very famous statement of Rabi' ibn Amir, when he walked in front of one of the rulers of Persia, and he said the very famous statement, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بْتَعَثَنَا لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ, that Allah has sent us to take people from being slaves to other slaves to being slaves to the Lord of all slaves. وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ سَعَةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, and to take us from the constriction of this world to the expansion of this world and the hereafter. وَمِنْ جَوْرِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَىٰ عَدِّ الْإِسْلَامِ, and from the oppression and the injustice of all other systems to the justice of Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, who's better, your gods or him subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah goes on to mention in this beautiful set of verses, أَمَّنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَأَنزَلَ لَكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَنْبَتْنَا بِهِ حَدَائِقَ ذَاتَ بَهْجَةٍ مَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَن تُنْبِتُوا شَجَرَهَا أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ يَعْدِلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or ask them, who created the heavens and the earth and sends down rain for you from the sky, by which we cause these delightful gardens to grow? You could have never caused their trees to grow on your own. Is there any God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Absolutely not. But they are a people who continue to set up gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, here's the thing that I want you to pay attention to. And it's very powerful in the language of the Quran. Fir'aun makes this claim to his people. So first and foremost, Allah says, who's better, Allah or your gods? Think about the oppression of Fir'aun and Fir'aunic systems. And think about the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the systems that follow. Fir'aun says in Surah Al-Qasas, verse 38, وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَلَأُ مَا عِلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرِ. He says, oh my people, I don't know of another ilah than me, another god than me. And he says, go ahead and give me a ladder so I can go and find this ilah of Musa, the so-called god of Musa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ, in the same juz, is there any god, any ilah besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And look at your gardens. You don't need to take a ladder up to the sky. You don't need to go to the heavens and see anything over there. Look at your gardens. Who sends down that rain? Who created and then who sends down and nourishes and sustains and produces? What do you think? Where do you think this is all coming from? So you don't need to look up even. Look down at your own gardens. Look down at your own crops. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to mention the various things that He does for us, the one who makes the earth firm, the one who responds to the believer when he calls out in distress, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. Think about the difference between the way the believer is when they call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how Allah responds versus when someone calls out to a Fir'aunic-like figure who makes you feel so low when he gives you anything to where you wish you didn't ask him in the first place. And that's what men and adha do, boasting and harming the recipient of charity actually does. So the last thing I'll say here, dear brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you about Fir'aun and Fir'aun who thinks of himself like a god and what that does to the person, when a person starts to see themselves as a godlike figure, they only become people of dhulm. They only become people of oppression. But the more that a person sees themselves as a abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more beautiful they become. Beauty emanates from them because humility produces beauty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of beauty and allow us to be in true submission to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, there is no God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no claimed God that is better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. InshaAllah ta'ala, with that, pass it on to our Sheikh Abdullah.
Jazakum Allah khairan. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala amma ba'du. Recognizing the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acting upon it to the best of your ability is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. He subhanahu has given us a legislation, given us a system for us to try to implement within our lives to be with Him, inshallah. And being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the greatest joys of the Muslim. When they think about it, it should encourage them and motivate them to try to be the best version of themselves for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the creator of the heavens and the earth. And that's ultimately the purpose of life, is to do your best for the one that created you. And using the system that He has given you, and this is how you tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth, thank you. What I want to talk about is in the chapter of the spiderweb, Al-Ankabut, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those that hope to see Him. This is mentioned right after the acknowledgement of, let's say, the prerequisite of getting to see Him, which is going through what is known as the fitna, and Ustad al-Fatima will speak about that, inshallah ta'ala. The trials and tribulations, is it a condition to do this or not? What is it and why does it matter? What I want to talk about right after those verses is verse number 5, is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, after a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, man kana yarju liqa'a Allah fa inna ajala Allahi la'at wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. Now this verse is right after speaking about those that are of the mujrimeen, those that do the evil deeds, when Allah asked the rhetorical question, meaning that we know the answer to this. It is our fitrah, our natural predisposition that we know this answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ سَيِّئَاتِ أَنْ يَسْبِقُونَ سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do the evildoers suppose that they will get the better of us or that they will outrun us? This is evil of their judgment. After mentioning this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about those that hope for him, as was mentioned before. Hoping to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the characteristic of the muhsin. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that they do actions, they worship Allah as though they see him. And knowing that they don't see him, know that he sees us. But there will be a day when we leave this earth, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to take us individually or collectively, that we, inshallah, will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that desire is what is called raja, is what is called hope. That's why he said, Man kana yarju liqa Allah, fa inna ajal Allahi la'at. Let him who looks forward to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know that there is an appointed time. There will be an appointed time. Ajal is time frame in the future. Ajal Allah la'at. It is a surety that it will come, which is a portion of our belief in Allah and in Islam and as human beings, that there will be a day that everything will perish and the creation, human beings, will transition over to the next life to where we will be held accountable for our deeds. And after the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only by our deeds, but by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be admitted into Jannah bi'idhnillah. Allahumma razuqna al-Jannah. Oh Allah, bless us and provide us with Jannah inshallah ta'ala to where we will see Him. And the one that sees him, it is as though as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the one that hopes for the liqa of Allah are not like the ones that were previously mentioned. The ones that ya'maluna sayyi'at. They're not the ones that consistently, knowingly, do comfortably do evil deeds. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa huwa sami'ul alim. He's the all-hearing, the all-knowing. He ends this beautiful statement or verse with the names as-sami'ul alim. That he hears everything and he is knowledgeable about everything. He hears on you when you call on him and make dua to him, wanting to see him, and he is well aware of what is in your heart with what you say. This should remind us when we make dua, when we call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we speak to people, that we do it as a person that is hoping to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this beautiful month of Ramadan, think about meeting Allah. Think about that time where you will be in front of him and you'll be asked for the things that you have done, particularly in this month of Ramadan, particularly in the middle of the night, the last third of the night, when you raise your hands up or pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're with your community, think about the blessings of Islam, that he brought you to this time frame, in this place, at this moment, with this in your heart, hoping for what? Hoping to ultimately meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be with him. Khalidin, forever. This life is temporary for something that is baq, something that is everlasting. It's worth it that we make that struggle in this life to where when this fitna comes to us, as Ustad al-Fatima is going to talk about, we pass the test and we are purified because only those that are the mutahirun, only those that are pure, enter Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the inhabitants of Jannah. Barakallahu feekum. Ustad al-Fatima.
Jazakallah khairan. You know, Surah Ankabut and also the 20th juz is such a beautiful juz because it talks a lot about Musa alayhi salam, who is someone that the Prophet alayhi salam learned so much from in his journey as a prophet. And in learning that and in teaching us and in showing us through those verses, we too, as the ummah of the Prophet alayhi salam, learn how to be and how do we react to different things that has happened to us in our lifetime. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the beginning of Surah Ankabut, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَكُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ That will people, do people really think that they'll be left to just say that we believe and then they will not be tested or they won't have trials and tribulations and things that they go through in life? The interesting thing about the story of Musa alayhi salam is that Banu Israel, after they believed, they didn't realize that this is where the work comes now. After your belief is where you have to really show and really put an action towards these words of La ilaha illallah. If we're saying that there's no God, there's no deity, there's no one worth our time other than Allah, then we have to put in that time and we have to put in that work. And there are times in this dunya where things will be difficult and they'll be hard, but what you're meant to get out of it is actually a blessing. And that is to turn you to Allah. And that is to allow you to know that you're in this world not alone, but you're in this world with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your Lord, as your Rabb, as the one who's taking care of you, as the one who's nourishing you, as the one who's making sure that you're okay. The Prophet ﷺ, during the migration, when he's migrating from Mecca to Medina, and a lot of the companions as well, they're experiencing a lot of torture even on the way to their migration or even on the way to Medina, in the sense that they're taking longer journeys, they're avoiding people who are trying to hunt them, essentially. And when they're doing this, you have this natural question in your mind of, man, I'm believing, and I'm saying I believe in Allah, but I have all of these hardships that are coming my way. And the context of this verse is that Allah SWT is revealing it in regards to their difficulty that they're experiencing as they're migrating. And you see now that Allah SWT is saying, listen, this is a test of your faith, but when you have a stronger faith as a result of this, then there's nothing more that you would have wanted out of this. When you're at that moment, this Ramadan, you probably have already experienced it, but now in these last 10 days, you're really hitting that prayer mat and you're really praying to Allah in the middle of the night by yourself, and you're turning to Allah and you're going through the events of your life and the things that are happening, and you're realizing that, man, this is the most sincere conversation I've had with God my whole life, right? But that sincere conversation didn't come out of, you know, hanging out with your friends. It didn't come with hanging out with your family. It came with a little bit of difficulty. It came with a little bit of heartache. And that heartache, you poured it out to Allah. And Allah is the one who brings hearts together. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who put your heart back together. And now when you go and you pray, and now when you're fasting, and you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the reason why we fast, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that perhaps maybe you'll get God consciousness and awareness of God, you now have a better sweetness in your mouth. You have a better sweetness in your action. You have a better sweetness in your tilawah and your recitation of the Quran, because you have a closer relationship between you and Allah. Dunya is dunya. It is this world. And it's filled with good, it's filled with hardship, it's filled with heartbreak, it's filled with happy moments, right? But the akhirah is everlasting. And this is where we will get to be with Allah. This is where we will get to have our moment of saying, Allah, it was really difficult. It was really tough. But I'm happy that you, by your mercy and compassion, allowed me to be in this Jannah where I can experience all the good. Mm-hmm. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, do people think that they'll be left to say that they believe and they will not experience any trial and tribulation, is more like they will not be refined to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best of their state. To meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having prepared and having had a close relationship with God in this world, so that we can be amongst the al-husna in the hereafter, those who get to see the beloved face of God, those who get to be in the presence of the prophets and of the companions. So this verse was something that I really want to talk about in this particular juz, because it really encompasses all of the juz, showing all the trials and tribulations that the different prophets have went through, in reference to the trial and tribulation that the Muslims and the Prophet ﷺ was facing at his time.
SubhanAllah, there are so many connections that came to mind as you were speaking. And I think it's almost like a realization. You cannot, if you think about the end of Surah An-Naml, which is what I was reciting, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the blessings of Allah are, all these blessings that you take for granted, you cannot possibly deal with your trial if you don't know where your blessing came from and where you want to go. Like, it's the source and then the goal, the source and the goal. And it's situated here, the beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut. Where did it come from? If you attribute test to Allah, but you don't attribute blessing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you're always going to be bitter about fitna. But if you attribute blessings to Allah first, then the fitna comes as a test to see if you will properly acknowledge those blessings and then use those blessings to search for the blessing of the hereafter. So if you don't know the blessing that came and the blessing that you're seeking, you don't know the God that put you here, and you don't know the person that you're supposed to be, the servant that you're supposed to be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's also something else when we talk about, like, you know, growing out of the test that you came from and recognizing that the real work starts when you become believers. It was very easy for people to recognize the evil of Fir'aun, right? It's easy to recognize an abatta bani Israel, the bitterness of being oppressed and enslaved by a tyrant like Fir'aun. But sometimes in fighting that tyranny and trying to get out of that slavery, you don't know where you want to go. Yeah. And so when they come out of it, it's like we kind of lost our identity, right? What do we do now? So what did they do? They went back and they built a calf again, right? Like they're so used to this, right? And so subhanAllah, it's like breaking out of that mindset into that greater possibility of, you know, what it truly means to be Abdullah, to truly, truly turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last thing that caught my attention, Shaykh, when you're talking about, you know, those who hope to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have this relationship with Allah where we hope to meet Allah, but we're also afraid of the consequences of our sins, right? Like it's, we love Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is our greatest goal to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we also fear being held accountable. Who wanted to meet Fir'aun? Who loves to meet a tyrant? No one loves to meet a tyrant. There's nothing but a relationship of fear with a tyrant, right? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our love for Him and our hope for Him overtakes, right, that fear to the point that we still want to meet Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we want to be prepared for that meeting. And how does Allah Azza respond to an ankabut right after that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا عَفْوًا سُبْحَانَهُ
مَنْ جَاهَدَ
وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions somewhere in those ayats, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَنُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَحْسَنَ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Right? And you can go find the exact verse. But those who believed and did good deeds, we will reward them only with the best of that which they used to do after expiating their sins. So it's like we expiate their sins and we'll reward them with the best of that which they used to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to still want to meet Him and definitely treats us with a level of love and welcoming us back to Him, which is why He gives us these gifts like Ramadan the last 10 nights. So subhanAllah.
Yeah, that's beautiful because sometimes people will feel hopeless, right? And it's like, you know, always know that you have what it takes to be sincere. You know, entering the month of Ramadan, some people might say, you know, I've just done so much, so many sins. People that convert to Islam, you know, people that are Muslim and they just, you know, they went on the deep end and they feel that there's no returning, there's no turning back. Well, there is turning back. There's literally a word for it. It's called tawbah. It's called inaba, to turn. Literally what it means, to turn back and to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The door is always open. And to know that the ability to be sincere is there with you. It just may take some time for you to process and to go through the fitan, to go through the trials. And that's literally what the word fitan comes from, is to purify when putting iron under fire to mold it. How are we allowing ourselves to be molded to be sincere? And that's very, very important in the month of Ramadan. And in any month, but particularly this month of Ramadan, because it's kind of eliminating certain things to get clarity. And when you get that clarity, you have to really be honest with yourself. And that honesty with yourself is the sincere process. It's the process of sincerity. It's really looking at yourself and realizing, okay, you know, Ibn al-Qayyim, he talks about this so beautifully in the book called The Invocation of God, Shower of Utterance, Wa'ib al-Sayyib. He's talking about that the heart goes through these stages of al-inkisar, wal-iftiqar, wal-dhul, and you debase yourself, you lower yourself, you realize, I have nothing. I've been indulging upon my desires. So just going through that process, I think, is very important for the heart, that heart work in Ramadan, to where when you feel that you're nothing without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what you would be if it was left up to you, you're on your way to being sincere, inshallah. And those moments will be very, very intimate. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Yeah, you know, something else that I realized as you guys were talking was, when you remove things, you're able to kind of see your sincere, true self, or you're able to kind of regroup and you're able to learn your purpose and what you want to do, or why am I living life the way that I'm living life? And essentially, that's what the entirety of Ramadan is, right? You're not eating, you're not drinking, you're kind of putting yourself through a different type of fitna, right? A different type of trial and difficulty and hardship, but that allows you to really, truly know your purpose in life. Yeah. And Ramadan is not just one month in the sense that it is a month of training, right? It's a month of putting your body through it and building good habits. And you take that outside of the month and then you go and you be that person that you've become in Ramadan, you know, for the rest of your life. And essentially, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing, you don't realize that actually trials and tribulations and hardships, they're meant for you to see the blessings that God has actually given you. Mm-hmm. And it's meant as a moment of gratitude. So the more grateful that we are, and the more that we are able to see that even in the times of the darkest moments of our life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us something good. There's multiple things that are good, but there's something good that's always there. It really allows us to know that God is all merciful. Like, He's so merciful, He's so kind, and He's so loving to us.
There's something interesting as well. Surah Al-Ankabut, by the way, is, you know, my favorite surah in the Quran changes based upon a time, right? But Surah Al-Ankabut is usually the one that's my favorite.
Oh, mashallah.
وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهَدُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Look, you're doing this for yourself. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah slain an insan. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَنُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَحْسَنَ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. Like the sudden plug of the parents. Where did that come from? Because if you don't recognize the source of your blessings being, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all the things He's done for you before you were tested, the greatest place of kufr amongst human beings, ingratitude amongst human beings, is when you're ungrateful to your own mother, when you're ungrateful to your own parents, because you didn't see when she literally bore you, you know, held you in her womb, bore you, took care of you. You don't remember all those moments. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you know, this is a you problem. This is a you problem, right? Like this is, if you're failing to recognize the blessings and failing to properly contextualize the fitan, the tests and the trials, this is a you problem. You have a Lord that's merciful, a Lord that bestows despite you having done nothing, and that's willing to forgive you despite everything you have done. So you need to recognize al-afu, the one who pardons, the one who forgives, and you need to recognize Him first and foremost as the source of your original mercy before you can really appreciate the mercy that you are seeking from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So take a last 30-second boost, inshallah, it's the last 10 nights. So Stella Fatima, give him your full last push, inshallah.
Yes. So in these last 10 nights, you know, Ramadan is a blessed month. And what I notice, or what I realize about Allah, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to give us incentive, right? And so that is that we have the whole year, and in the whole year, fasting Mondays and Thursdays is a blessing. But then we have the month of Ramadan, which is the most blessed month. And then within the most blessed month, you have the most blessed 10 days, which is the last 10 days. And which within those last 10 days, you have the most blessed day, which is the day of Laylatul Qadr. And so it is so important to recognize that this Ramadan can be your best Ramadan. And so make sure that you don't let these last 10 nights go to waste. Don't take them for granted. Don't say, I have another odd night. No, you have this odd night. Perhaps maybe this all night is the last all night that you'll be able to do as many blessings as you possibly can. So make sure that all those goals you had, you use this as your moment to do it. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah into your life.
Jazakumullah khairan. I think we have to end there, inshallah, because we're out of time. But reminder to everyone, inshallah ta'ala, please keep us in your dua. Go hard in these last 10 bidnai ta'ala. Again, we hope that inshallah ta'ala you'll support yaqeen and support the wonderful efforts that are out there, bidnana. And we'll see you all, inshallah ta'ala, for the webathon, as well as for the next Juz bidnana for Juz 21. Barakallahu fikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.